And then I talk about that everywhere I go. He decided to support the right for people to claim their respective sovereignties. And that speech or that discourse, that narrative, it resonates very well so much in Africa that he does not even have to spend the money that France is spending in Africa or America to try and charm and seduce and scare people. When people know that there's somebody, and also the war in Ukraine, gave destroyed the myth of the West. So people know that there is someone who can support us, same way yesterday his ancestors supported us to be free. So that's why when they go and they take to the street, that's why they have the Russian flags. No Russian is there to say, you know what, I'll take this flag and show it everywhere. So from Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, in all those countries, this is what people are doing. There was a time when the French President Macron was saying that is.
Hi, I'm Jill Fritz with the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
I am all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
KBOO has a mobile app. You can listen to all your favorite shows, subscribe to KBOO podcasts, even set KBOO as your alarm clock. Just look for KBOO on the iTunes and Google Play Store. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review.
Hi, this is Dwight Yoakam, and you're listening to KBOO.
Right now, a very, very beautiful song coming up in the background. This is from Thunderclap Newman. His new one called Something in the Air.
And you know that it's right. And you are listening to KBOO Portland. And next comes, well, we already started with Veterans Voice. And let's see, we're all getting ready. And we just played Thunderclap Newman with Something in the Air. And we'll wish you a very cool morning. Can do it. All right, so we're back on air. A couple of technical difficulties here on this community radio station.
Okay, now we're doing it. Portland calling. Rest in peace, Sinead O'Connor. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, and 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ender is engineering the show today. I got a lot I want to talk about. I always say that, to talk about. First of all, I want to say hello to Gary and Darla back in Nebraska, good friends, and also to a lot of people who listen to the show. I get text messages from all over the country, all over the world, and they're all just like we are here, you know. They're just wonderful people, and you know, I really enjoy it, and I want to say hello to my family in Vietnam. So I know that they're sleeping, but right now, but they're taping this so they'll be able to hear it. It's, you know, this radio station is really, really good, and we need to keep it going, and I donate a lot, because, you know, this radio station's really helped me a lot. It's kind of, you know, when I talk to you, I feel that I'm part of something, and I didn't have that for a long time, you know, after the war. And you know, I've got you, so I appreciate it. And you can donate to KBOO by going to kboo.fm and hit on the donate button. You can donate that, or you can do like I do. I mail KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214, and I always donate, you know, 31 years, and it's time to, you know, I donate to keep our radio station on the air. August has four dates that I always remember every year at that the time. And August 2nd and 4th, 1964, and August 6th and 9th, 1945, and 1960, I'm going to move this over here so I can see it better. This mask is killing me. On August 2nd in 1964, in the Gulf of Tonkin off of Vietnam, the United States started basically a war with the people of Vietnam. They had their destroyer, the Maddox, in that area. We've talked about it before. And the Vietnamese sent some PT boats out to see what was going on. And the the medics shot at him, and the U.S. and the Vietnamese shot back, and of course they shot back, and the medics called the aircraft carrier, and they sent planes out, and they bombed and strafed these PT boats, and they killed some people and destroyed a couple of the boats. And on then on August 6th, August 4th, the Maddox came back in the area, but brought its sister ship, and I can't remember the name of it, and they got some intercepted messages from the North Vietnamese, and they got them all mixed up, and they used August 2nd, U.S. attack on these guys, and that's what started the Turner Joy got all messed up, and they said they were being attacked and all this, and again they sent airplanes to check it out, and there was nothing there. There was nothing. The Vietnamese didn't even leave their port. But that was the second and the fourth, and that was the excuse they used to start the war really hot and heavy. And Johnson's to blame for that. And that President Johnson is responsible for that. Him and Robert McNamara are the cause of that. And then on August 6th, 1945, the United States of America dropped a nuclear bomb on the city of Hiroshima and just destroyed it, killed something like together. And then again on August 9th, they dropped another bomb on Nagasaki in Japan. And altogether, I think they said like 145,000 people were killed. But I'm pretty sure it's higher than that, because some of those people were just, there's nothing left of them. And then that started the nuclear race. Every country that could had a bomb now. But something else, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were just horrible. But also the firebombing of Tokyo was worse. In one day, like 100,000 people were burned to death, and they could have, they said that bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki, shortened the war and everything. But but that's not really true, because the Japanese is already petitioning for peace. The only thing they wanted is that the emperor would not be tried for war crimes. And the U.S. wanted a complete surrender, everything. But when it came down to it, the emperor was not charged with war crimes, so there could have been like a whole bunch of people in Nagasaki and Hiroshima that would have been alive today. Would have been alive. So I just wanted to get that out of my system, because it makes me really angry to think of what this country does. This country is a bully country, It's just like the kid on the playground, bullying kids around to get them to do what they want them to do. This country's a bully, a big, big bully. And I was studying what it cost and how many bombs that were dropped on these countries, The cost of the Vietnam War was $168 billion. And at that time, the U.S. government couldn't afford health care for all of our people, couldn't take care of our children, our elderly, but they had $168 billion to put into a war that was a lie, a big lie. The war in Afghanistan cost $757 billion, and that was another one. And then the war so far in Iraq, I mean the war in Iraq, that was the war in Afghanistan was $2 trillion. The war in Iraq was $757.8 million. Okay, I get some of that mixed up, but we'll go back. The number of bombs dropped in Afghanistan over 16 years was 38,368, and a lot of those bombs were cluster bombs. Cluster bombs. The civilian death was 50,000 people or more. And out of that, 25% of that were children. Children. They told us that they had all these smart bombs, you know, that, and it sure doesn't seem like they were very smart, dropping those bombs on those children and the elderly. It just seems to be a track record for this country, you know. Go in and just bomb everything. Just bomb it. You know, in Iraq, they bombed everything. Everything. I remember Dan Handelman went to Iraq, and he saw the devastation that happened there. You know, the bridges bombed. The water system bombed. You know, the sewer systems bombed, the electrical systems bombed. And Dan came back and he talked about it, you know. And it's very, very, you know, I think about all those people who died in Iraq. You know, another war of choice. Iraq is a war of choice. There's just no doubt about it. You know, 12,500 children or more, you know, in Afghanistan was just wiped right off of the map. Some of the cluster munition they were dropping on these people, a lot of them didn't explode when they, you know, hit the ground or in the air, or if they were supposed to be airburst or something. They didn't. They looked like toys. And these children would pick them up, you know, and they'd go off. If it didn't kill them, it maimed them for the rest of their lives. And then the U.S. pulls out, just like they did in Vietnam. They just pulled out. Those children and elderly that were hurt so bad by our bombings, you know, got no care at all. You know, in Iraq, like I said, Iraq cost $757.8 billion with cluster bombs, you know, again doing the same thing. Cluster ammunition is just so horrible. So horrible. And then the U.S. government sends it to Ukraine. You know, after that war is, you know, goes to an end, I hope it's soon, you know, they're going to have to clear up all those unexploded ordnance. They're going to have to get the landmines that, you know, both sides have put in the ground. Both sides use cluster munition, you know. And people are going to go back in those areas. There's just no doubt about it, because that's where they live. That's where their families were. And so there are going to be a whole lot of people who are going to get killed or maimed for life from these cluster bombs that didn't explode and the landmines that didn't explode. You know, when the U.S. started that war, they call it the first was shock and awe. They dropped so many bombs, just so many bombs. And I can't, I'm trying to remember how many they dropped in the first day. And I know that 6,700 civilians were killed in the first 3 weeks. I know that. 6,700 people were killed in 3 weeks from the bombings for a war that was a choice war. American interest. I talk to a lot of folks. I get these text messages and stuff, and then I'll call them and talk, you know, and they're bitter. They're really angry. They have, this is from both Iraq and Afghanistan, and these people are bitter, just bitter about what happened to them when they found out what the truth was. Not only the women had to go through it, American women military, but they also had, you know, sexual trauma by being physically or emotionally attacked by their own troops. By their own troops. You know. Oh, man. They dropped 29,199 bombs on Iraq. You know, this probably, you know, these are just guesses, you know. They're not going to really tell us what they dropped, you know. So, but 9,000 children were killed in total in Iraq from the time they started their illegal war till it ended in Iraq. 1.2 million people died. 1.2 million people died. It wasn't just the U.S. that was doing the bombings. It was also United Kingdom, who does what the U.S. tells them to do. I'm surprised the U.S. doesn't attack them and makes them become a state, because, you know, they do what they're told. They always do what they're told. So I, you know, when I talk to these people, the women, you know, the women talk a lot about feeling unsafe in their own, you know, because being, you know, by their own troops, their own troops. I was up at the Veterans Hospital not too long ago, and I walked back, like to go to the back of the VA and rest, to sit and rest, because it makes me really nervous being up there. And I walked by this one room, and there were two guys sitting in there. One guy had had both of his legs blown off, and the other guy had one leg blown off and one arm blown off. And they were both from Iraq, fighting in Iraq. And I talked to them for a little while, and they said, yeah, that a lot of their comrades were wounded or killed in Iraq, and they were wondering what, you know, what it was all about. And they, when the U, and then they were talking about the U.S. just pulled out, just like Vietnam, they just pulled out. And these guys were, you know, I felt so sorry for them, but, you know, they were there working on it. They, you know, they were getting their legs, their prosthetics fixed and everything, and it was pretty interesting that they were starting to ask questions about the war. I should have asked him to come and be on the show, but I was kind of, you know, taken back about what they were talking about. And they were talking about the cluster ammunition too. They were talking about how horrible it was, you know. Some of the guys were in the cities fighting, and some guys were fighting outside the cities, and you know, and they were talking about all the cluster munitions that didn't go off, and that farmers were out, you know, trying to work their fields and everything, and these things would be going off and killing people. I went on the internet and looked up American interests, and there were so many different things they said about it, you know, what it was, you know, what it was about and everything, and where I came from, it was the U.S. is going to go anywhere they want. They're going to go anywhere. They're going to send their army. The army is just the arm. It's just the bully boys that they send in. They send in to do what they're told. And they don't care about it. I was going to look up, and I forgot to do it. I was going to look up and see who was running the oil wells now in Iraq. I just didn't look it up. I was so angry after looking up stuff that I had to go outside in my backyard up in the mountain. And I went outside and I sat and just looked out over the forest and everything, and listened to the birds. And there's an owl up there that hoots all the time, and the deer come into the backyard. And while I was sitting out there, a little doe came into the yard to eat some apples that fell off a tree. And I thought, If these animals were in Iraq or Afghanistan, they'd probably be killed. They'd probably be killed. Because bombs don't care. They have no feelings. They just kill. Cluster bombs just kill. And I got back up and went back in the house, but then I turned off my computer and I turned my phone off and I watched a cowboy movie on TV. You know, a lot of guys like me out there that feel the same way I do about what the war choices of war. I think we're going to play the other song, aren't we, Ender? Okay, he's gonna play it. Here he goes.
Working at this job is dirty and dangerous, and I'm taking risks anyway. Oh, if I had the time and the proper equipment, I could do my job safely each day. Everybody here says they're sticklers for safety, and I'm not here to say that they lie. I'm saying we just come to work here, we don't come to die. shipped overseas. 60,000 workers that we buried last year found the cost of doing business too high. We just come to work here, we don't come to die. Now while you're up there talking in an air-conditioned office on a telephone that OSHA approved,
right, that was pretty good. that was pretty good. While the music was playing, I had a drink of water because my mouth gets really dry. And so I looked up what are American interests. There are only five vital U.S. interests, national interests, to prevent the threat of an attack of weapons of mass destruction on U.S. soil or its military abroad, to ensure U.S. allies' survival and cooperation, to shape an international system in which we can thrive, to prevent the emergence of hostile powers on American borders. You know, this international system sounds like empire building to me. So I just wanted to read that to you. And it says, why does the U.S. intervene in the affairs of other nations? The objective for these interventions have revolved around economy, territory, social protection, regime change, protection of U.S. citizens and diplomats, policy change, empire, and regime building. So, I don't know if I read that twice, but it sure doesn't seem, you know, regime change, empire building, sure doesn't sound like a good thing to me. So, that just kind of, you know. And, oh, also, I looked up on the enlistment form for folks, you know, the going into military. But the Army is really having a hard time recruiting people. The Marines seem to got, you know, pretty good. The Air Force, you know, and the Space Force, you know, the new Space Force. I have a friend, Monica, whose son's in the Space Force, but I don't know what, you know, so I don't know anything about it. You know, and then the Navy, they seem to almost get all, you know, it's just the people, the kids nowadays aren't going into the military. You know, they're finding other ways to do things. So, you know, to bring the draft back, that would really be a problem if they thought they were going to bring the draft back. They thought it was bad in the 60s and early 70s. Just wait till, you know, they try it now. You know, people don't want to die for American interest. Another thing these guys are really, really angry about, they enlisted to go fight in Afghanistan. That's where the folks were trained and everything that, you know, attacked the U.S., you know, and flew into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, and they crash landed in the field. And these people thought that they're going to go there and they're going to fight these guys, you know, people who did it. But a whole bunch of them were sent to Iraq instead, and they were really angry about that. They were angry about going to Iraq because that's not what they went in the military. But in that enlistment form I was looking up, and I've talked about this years, quite a few years ago, that in it it says, no matter what you were guaranteed to do, you know, you enlisted to be an infantryman or whatever, truck driver or intelligence or whatever, that it didn't matter, that they could do with you whatever they wanted to do. No matter, you know, the so-called guarantee, it didn't matter. Like my friend Bill Byers said, in the military, there's two things that are expendable and that you can replace them, and that's tent pegs and body, human bodies. And that's pretty true. And so these guys that went to Afghanistan and then were sent right to Iraq was just angry about doing that. Like I said before, they were really angry about it. And some of them were making two or three deployments in Iraq. That's just crazy. Crazy. And then pulling out, you know, just pulling that troops out. Just like Afghanistan, just like Vietnam. Pulling out. But, you know, there's still troops in Iraq. There's a battalion worth of troops. That's about 1,000 troops still in Iraq. Still in Iraq. You know, the U.S. is making all these deals. They really don't make deals. They just tell people, countries, what they're going to do. They can't tell Russia, and they can't tell China. They're building up their forces in Southeast Asia. They're building their forces up. The Navy and the Army and the Marines. The Navy. They're surrounding China. You know, but that for the U.S. to, and they're also building up troops in the Persian Gulf, because they don't want Iran to be messing with ship traffic coming through the Hormuz. And there's been some trouble in that area, but there's more military bases in that area. I think Qatar has more bases in that little country, you know, Army, Navy, all of them, plus the UK has troops there. Because that is a real strategic place. That's really narrow. It narrows down there. And if that was blocked off, that would, you know, flow of oil would be blocked off. And the U.S. is not going to let that happen. Sorry, I had to take a drink. My throat is really dry. And so, another bully movement by the U.S. sending troops, building up, telling other countries what to do, spending all that money that we could use here in this country. We could use that money. You know, our homeless, our people with no homes living on the streets, you know, families living in their cars. It's just a disgrace what this country has let happen to our people. A complete disgrace. But they have money for war. They all have money for war. And that's, you know, just really makes me really, I really unhappy. I get the veteran. It's the newspaper from Vietnam Veterans Against the War. And they have some really good articles. And one of them, if I can find it here, they're building another library in Vietnam. That's one of the things they do. And as soon as I find it, I will tell you about it. Now, this is Vietnam Veterans Against the War Remembers Native American Struggle, which there's a lot of Native Americans that are, you know, had been in the military. A lot of those at Wounded Knee were a lot of veterans. A lot of veterans. Oh, come on. Where's that at? Ender, I'm not finding it. But I'm looking. Okay, let me do this until I find it. The guy, you know, veterans do, when they come back, a whole bunch of folks go into the arts, you know, painting, writing, acting, you know, to really help themselves. And every time this paper comes out, there's lots of poems and stories in it about their times in war. And they're... Oh, here's one that's really interesting. It's about a quarter, almost three quarters of a page. And it's a picture of a Native American sitting down. He's holding a rifle. And it's nighttime, Wounded Knee, 1890 and 1973. And it says, they made us many promises, and they never kept but one. They promised to take our land, and they took it. And that's a quote from Chief Red Cloud. They took it. They just took it. Well, you know, Manifest Destiny. From sea to shining sea. Let's see if I can find that poem I was really interested in. Here's one article about a Vietnam vet wrote about his friend An in Vietnam that was left of Vietnam. And here's another book. This is a book came out. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It's by, who's it by? Joy Damian. That's a female. Female. One of the authors informs the reader that the title of the book was passed on to her by a friendly non-commissioned officer, and is the main lesson she learned in the Army. It becomes apparent that this will not be a story about being all you can be. In fact, the manuscript would be used for counter-recruiting, since it exposes many of the lies built into the military. I might have to get that book. As she neared high school graduation, she rebelled against her parents and landed in a reform school. Later, she was caught by the poverty draft, which is what it is. It's a poverty draft. This, you know, be all you can't be. After, and her, neared high school graduation. She rebelled again. Later, she was caught by the poverty draft, baited with the promise of money for college. Her five-year enlistment was caused by a lying, cheating recruiter. After the five, she was stopped lost when the Army cheated by extending her... See, that was in that enlistment form, too. By extending her enlistment beyond the contract length. Actually, this was a double cheat by the Army. It seems that most every interaction between enlistment and discharge was cheating of one sort or another. And of course, she applied herself and cheated the Army as much as she could. Occasionally, she even managed to hold the high ground. I'm going to contact her. She sounds like us. I bet she is us. When I say us, I mean veterans and all my friends that listen to this show. And each one of you are my friend. But her actions didn't come close to repaying the Army for its sins. Her story exposed many of the shortcomings of the post-9/11 Army. It's a bit kinder and a bit gentler, but there are many more traps and certainly many more potholes. As a Vietnam veteran, I can relate to the difference in our service. In my time in the Army, it was the Army way or else. No questions allowed. Miss Damien had a chance to question the directives, after which, according to the story, they would lie to get her acquisitions. Then she'd do whatever they ask her to do semi-willingly. For closure, I have met the author in another aspect of her artistic ability, music. See? She's a multi-talented, and I recommend you search for her songs. The truth comes out in her music, and her music is much more hard-hitting than the book. If you'd like, okay. That story was critiquing her book. It was John Sutz from Milwaukee and a VVAW member. And the lady's name, that if you want to look her up on the internet, I'm going to spell it for you. Okay, her first name is Joy, and her last name is Damiani. I'm definitely going to look that book up. I'm going to talk to her. And there's another cartoon here. It's this guy, and he's got his fist clenched. He's looking real mean. We'll fight to the last man. And then there's these two soldiers standing over here. And who's the last man over here? Here he is. Oh, Ivan something, born 3 days ago. The last man has just been born. The last man was just born, so that was going to be a long war that they're getting themselves into. A long war. Here's one about the Veterans Administration, who also has the hospital, VA hospitals. Just before Veterans Day, the VA sent a letter declaring that I am 100% disabled from disabilities that struck late in life due to the war in Vietnam. This is beyond amazing. Not that long ago, the VA told Vietnam vets it was all in our heads, that our mothers caused our problems, that it was none of their business. I could tick off the insults decade by decade. And now, just like that, I'm accepted into the inner sanctum of war heroes. No Purple Heart, but an Agent Orange administration ticket to the VA. See, that's one thing, too, about the Agent Orange, the defoliant they sprayed all over Vietnam, that as we get older and our immune systems, get weaker, that we are getting more, sick and from the Agent Orange. And they waited a whole long time before they started compensating us for for what they did to us in Vietnam by spraying us with Agent Orange defoliant. They sprayed it so that the VC and the NVA wouldn't have any place to hide. But they sprayed us, and they sprayed the innocent Vietnamese people. They sprayed their rice fields, you know, their way of life. You know, that's the big bully doing their thing. Here's another one. Another book. The Whore, the Whore. Fire and Rain, Nixon, I hate even to say that name, Kissinger. A war criminal. 100 years old, and he's still alive, and he's not in The Hague, you know, being convicted and sent to prison. I don't care if he's 100 years old. You know, what he did to the people in Vietnam, like they say, is a war crime, and he's a war criminal. Let me see what I can't find that really, really the poem I wanted to read. Come on, open up here. Ooh, that's a bad cartoon. I'm not gonna read it. It's a bad one. It's about children in war. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay, here's one. It's kind of long. We only got 7 minutes. It was all about that, alone with just numbers. It was all about that, the numbers, the body count. We were all just that. The North Vietnamese Army, the Viet Cong, the little kids, old folks. Just body counts. Me and Pooh, too. Pooh's his buddy. The counts for us grunts in F Company, he's infantryman, in F Troop, went from 78 to 11 able to walk. Out of 78 guys in F Troop, only 11 were able to walk in just one operation. But Pooh Bear, he had my 3, my 6, my 9, 12, through all of it, taking care of each other. We got through another 9 months alive, and two of us alone together being the constant as far more than any other. 39 more strangers became just numbers on the toe tags in the body bags. Woke up beside him alive on the 7th, the 11th, and 24th. The 93rd Evac Hospital, and Pooh was always there at my side. Came home with him to D Company Advanced Infantry Training, Fort Hood, teaching 11 Bravo grunts, infantrymen, newbies, how not to die, using the M16 rifle, the M60 machine gun, the M79 grenade launcher. They would be on in the M113, which is a Army personnel carrier. They would be on just more numbers in the NOM. Lost him in 1970. See, I had no working numbers for him. Found him about 1980 and drove to New York to freak out our five kids. To freak out our five kids out crying on his porch. About the numbers, the dead, there was no dealing with. He called minutes before 2000, Pooh talking some trouble about maybe it might be just two. Then nothing until early 2015, another call out of the blue, an unspoken goodbye, maybe a quick, bro, I love you. I looked up his phone number, called around and found with Agent Orange cancer, suicides, just old age. Pooh, it must have been me and you that made it through. Just today found out on a page dead 2/7/2015. More numbers to deal with, to feel, to try, to ignore. Now it's just me, and no ambush patrol could feel so alone. Don't want those days back when we were boys trying to be men. But I do miss our time together, and I will see you again. The Three Dog Night, they had it right about number one. Number one is the loneliest number. A lot of that was stuff. We only got 3 minutes. I hate that. 3 minutes. Okay. I'm not going to do that. I want to talk. So if you want to really support KBOO, like I said before, and keep our wonderful radio station going, you can go to KBOO 90.7, KBOO.FM, and you can donate there. Or like I said, you can do like I do, and I send a check to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And I just want people to remember that the United States is a bully, and they go around hurting people all around the world. And just like I just read, the people, they hurt us too. So, we'll be back on September 15th at 9 a.m. And there it is. And we're going to call it done for the day. And my buddy Ender is going to look up a song to play for us. And he's looking. There you go. He's going to play that one. And goodbye, folks. I will see you next month, like I said, September 15th at 9 a.m., and there it is.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
Tune in to Locus Focus, a weekly conversation about our place on the planet, every Monday morning at 10 on KBOO Community Radio. Each week, host Barbara Bernstein talks with local, regional, and national experts, activists, and policymakers about climate change, river protection, the transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy, salmon restoration, forest management, and all the other things that are critical to protect our planet. That's every Monday at 10 a.m. on your community radio station, KBOO.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.